Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Oh, we generally try to finish the work week on a positive note with something good to talk about, and we've got a wonderful topic and a wonderful guest this hour. As I was saying at the beginning of the program, we do a lot of defending of Mary around here, but what we'd like to do this hour is help you grow, develop, strengthen, improve, or maybe start your relationship with Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was given to you as a mother. She was given to all of us as a mother. And wherever you are, whoever you are, whether you're Catholic or not Catholic, she wants to mother you. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Dr. Jared Stout. He is the director of content with Exodus 90, and you probably know about Exodus 90. They do wonderful work helping men to grow and become more fully men by becoming closer to the person of Jesus Christ, the model for all of us. Dr. Jared Stout, thank you for being here with us.
Thanks so much for having me. And, you know, we've been known by Exodus 90, but, you know, these days we are trying to present ourselves as Exodus. Because the 90 days or 90 days up to Easter of, you know, prayer and fasting, cold showers, of course, which is what we're known for. But we offer content for men all year round. And so we are gearing up for a Marian consecration that starts on Sunday, the feast day of St. Louis de Montfort, and ends on the Feast of the Visitation, May 31st. So that's just one example that we are Exodus all year round now.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. And but okay, so Marian consecration. Here is something that sometimes our apologists will have to defend. For many Christians, particularly Protestant Christians, this does not compute. But rather than defend it, I would ask you, could you describe it to us and maybe invite, give the kind of pitch for why someone might participate in a Marian consecration?
So when you consecrate something, you set it apart and dedicate it particularly to God. And every Christian is consecrated by virtue of our baptism. And St. Louis de Montfort presented this consecration to Jesus through Mary as a strengthening of our baptismal vows. And so it's not like in competition to that. It's not like we're saying baptism is not good enough. But I would really say that it is coming before Mary. It's almost even like in a feudal way, right? You know, it's like, I would like to be your knight. I would like to be your servant and to do what I do with you and for your honor. And really, I need help. And Louis de Montfort even called it a kind of servitude. You know, it's translated in English as slavery. And we're like, that's horrible. I don't want to be a slave to anybody. But, you know, in the ancient world, even if you look in the Bible, slavery was when you actually couldn't pay your debts and you weren't able to survive on the land. And so you would voluntarily, sometimes involuntary, depending on the circumstances, but put yourself in servitude to someone else who could care for you, provide for you, and you would work in exchange for that. And so I think that's part of the idea here. It's like, Mary, I'm having a hard time living out the vows of my baptism, and I want to be a saint. And so I am coming and putting myself in this kind of voluntary servitude, understood in a kind of loving, familial kind of way, because I can't cut it. And so I need you to help me to live this out, to do all that I do for Jesus. And you are the one who's closest to him. If you become my mother in a special way, then I know that you're going to be able to help me to really live the Christian life.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Already folks on the line, and I am going to let callers get in here momentarily to talk with Dr. Stout from Exodus. I'm going to say that wrong, and you can correct me anytime I get it wrong, because once I get it in my head, it is hard to get it out. But from Exodus and Marian consecration coming up, would you give us the dates again for this,
Mary? So it's this coming Sunday, April 28th. And the consecration day is the Feast of the Visitation on May 31st.
And just in general, apart from consecration, I mean, there is a thing in the Catholic Church that's very, very clear, this promotion of a relationship with Mary, this praying of the rosary, the memorare, the Angelus, I think we still pray the Angelus. I know some people still pray the Angelus. I hope we still pray the Angelus. But these, what is the point of all this relationship with Mary? It's not really, like you could probably say to somebody, well, do I have to have all this devotion to Mary? You could technically probably, but you're not going to be very Catholic without it. I mean, it's going to be hard to be very Catholic without it.
Well, I think we could say it would be hard to be Christian without it. And this is why. To be a Christian is to become Christ. Paul says in Galatians, it is now no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so we are one flesh with Christ mm-hmm. in the Eucharist. We have his spirit. He's breathed his own inner life into us. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. He has given us his Father. We say our Father because his Father is now our Father. And guess what? That means his mother is also our mother. And so to be Christian, that is to be Christ in the world, we have everything that he had, and he wants us to have a relationship with his mother, and that's scriptural. You know, I think John did not use his name in his gospel for a reason, because he presents himself as the beloved disciple so that we can put ourselves into his shoes, or his sandals, maybe we should say. At the foot of the cross, Jesus says to the beloved disciple, not to John, but to the disciple, behold your mother. And then he took her into his home. And there it is, right? And so the disciple has this special relationship with her. And I think even more than that, the church has always connected Mary's role, not only as mother, but as the queen mother who plays an essential role in the kingdom of her son. She is the one who crushes the head of the serpent. And so we have, you know, this struggle that we see all the way back at the very beginning in Genesis 3. But then there it is again in Revelation 12, that the dragon actually confronts the woman who is giving birth, right, to the son. And so it's, you know, traditionally seen as an image of Our Lady and the church at once. And that is the key struggle, this enmity between the children of the woman and the dragon and those that he pulls down from the sky with him. And there it is, right? So if we are the disciple, we become children of Mary with Jesus. And we become part of the struggle then against the dragon and his children. And I think that's really part of this understanding of the consecration, that we are putting ourselves on the right side of this struggle and saying to Our Lady, we want to be part of this fight with you under your protection so that we can really live with your son.
Wow. Relationship with Mary is our topic. Whether you are Catholic or not, you are welcome to call and ask your questions about relationship with Mary. Dr. Jared Stout is our guest, director of content with Exodus. They've got a Marian consecration coming up that you can find out about. If you want to call here and talk with Dr. Stout, 888-318-7884. If you want to participate in the Marian consecration, where do people go, Dr. Stout?
Exodus90.com.
Oh, Exodus90.com. Mm-hmm.
It's still there. The 90 hasn't gone away, but we are.
When I say it, it's a problem. Okay. We'll take a quick break.
Exodus 365, right?
No. Exactly. All right. We're going to take a very quick break because we do have callers on the line. There are a couple lines open if you'd like to get in. We'd love to hear from anybody who has questions, practical or otherwise, about developing a relationship with Mary, the mother that Jesus himself gave us. 888-318-7884.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN Heavenly Hints.
What's in your wallet? Do you carry and collect holy cards of your favorite saints and favorite prayers as reminders of your faith? Why not share some with first responders or military personnel as you go throughout your day? Without being intrusive, look your recipient in the eye and ask, "May I give you this with my prayers?" A simple holy card can often succinctly say what we feel and resonates longer than our spoken words.
A Heavenly Hint from EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Jared Stout is our guest. We're talking about building a relationship with Mary as he, as director of content with Exodus, prepares for this Sunday's beginning of a process of Marian consecration that they'll do with people all over the world. I'm sure you have people who log in all over the world. Isn't that right?
Yeah, actually, Eastern Europe is probably our second biggest region after the United States. And so, yeah, we do have people, Australia and Asia, all across the world. And I think that's part of the power of this Marian consecration, because, of course, people do it individually or in small groups, but we're going to have thousands of men doing this from, you know, countries all around the world. And we're really trying to say, okay, we're going to stem the tide here. You know, we're not doing well in the church and in society. Mm-hmm. And so we as men are saying, we're turning to Our Lady together. And we are going to be men for Jesus. We are really going to make a difference here. So I think that that's really the key is, as you're saying, that this is a worldwide consecration.
888-318-7884, the number. All right, I've been putting it off long enough because I've been enjoying my conversation with Dr. Stout, but we'll let callers have their say now. Jeremy is in Virginia watching on YouTube. Jeremy, thank you for your patience. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Jared Stout.
Great. Well, this might only be tangentially related to Mary, but I saw a meme online that said a woman was praying to a figurine of Saint Anthony for years, only to find out that it was actually an action figure. And it got me thinking, does it really matter what the statue is? Like, if I had a hammer that reminded me of Saint Joseph, couldn't I use that in the same way?
Wait, what possible action figure was confused? Is it like Obi-Wan Kenobi or something? And she thought, was he holding a baby?
I can't vouch for the accuracy of the meme, but right. It claimed that it was Elrond from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. I mean, if it was Spider-Man, that woman has bigger problems than who statues she's praying to. But all right, Dr. Stout, go ahead.
Yeah. So if you had a hammer, that would actually be a symbol, right? So that wouldn't be an image like of St. Joseph. It would be a symbol that reminds you of St. Joseph. So I teach art history, so this gives me a chance to roll the sleeves up and talk about art. All right, great. So I would say, yeah, you know, it does matter to a certain degree because, you know, let's say that there was, you know, an image that portrayed Our Lady or one of the saints like in a bad light, right? So that would be unfit. So I think we want images that are dignified, that seem holy, right? Because there are images of Our Lady that seem really mundane. Right. And but we want to say that the image is a kind of window as an icon. Right. And an icon is a window into a holy space. And it's meant to help us to meditate. And that's how I would really judge an image. Does this help me to focus my attention on the presence of our Lord, of Our Lady, of the saints, and to have holy thoughts and to be inspired? And so in that sense, it is practical and people might be inspired by some images and not another. But when it does come to Our Lady, I would recommend a portrait taken from the Tilma. Because I love praying to the image of the shroud when we're talking about the face of Jesus, because I think the evidence is absolutely overwhelming for the authenticity of the shroud. You should look up books on that topic. But when it comes to the face of Our Lady, you know, even though there's traditions of St. Luke painting an icon of her. There's so many different icons that claim that heritage, and none of them are that old. But Our Lady gave us an image of herself. And so I love praying before the image of Our Lady Guadalupe.
I just want to go back to Jeremy. Does that make sense to you? Does that get at what you wanted to get at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's accurate that you might say that it was a symbol and not a figurine of Saint. Yeah, Anthony or whoever it might be.
Right.
But I'm 100% behind you on the Shroud of Turin, though.
I'm so glad to hear that, because I come down very much in favor of the Shroud of Turin being authentic, except for that one test that was done for it. And I say to myself, well, you know, we got to take in the evidence, and then I never know what to do with the evidence. But or did you want to say something about that? You're gonna convince me now about the Shroud?
Okay. Yeah.
Now we've this hour is about the Shroud of Turin now. All right, go ahead, Dr.
We're gonna do a Marian consecration while we meditate on the Shroud of Turin.
Okay.
But there was a group of researchers. They call them the STIRP group in the late 70s, and they actually made a recommendation to the group from Oxford. There was a number of labs. One of them was Oxford, but that when they did the radiocarbon dating, and they said, do not take the samples from this section. And guess what? They took the samples from that section that they had advised not using because it was compromised. So I think there are many reasons for putting the radiocarbon dating to the side. And some of the other details are just overwhelming
when you
look at, like, pollen samples from the different places where the Shroud went, even things that only bloom, like, in the spring in Jerusalem and nowhere else, you know. And so there's so many things like that, and the weave and the way that the image, you know, was impressed, and we could go on and on and on. But so, yes, I would not be daunted by the radiocarbon dating.
All right. I've been converted. I was a complete conversion. It was instantaneous. Jeremy, thanks very much for the call. We're talking with Dr. Jared Stow. We're talking about building a relationship with Mary this hour. If you would like to deepen or maybe start your relationship with Mary, give us a call. Or maybe just have questions about how and why as far as relationship with Mary. 888-318-7884. Theodore's in Idaho, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Welcome, Theodore. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stow.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I got a question regarding Marian consecration in general. My family has been consecrated to Mary since the beginning, and both my children. And then we have all the relatives who come forward and say, hey, you should consecrate to St. Joseph and all these other things while you're at it. Just go do that. It's like, something feels off about the term consecrating me to multiple things other than one thing. It's not competition. But if I want to focus my life on something, is it wrong for me to, say, consecrate myself to three different saints? Does that sound off?
This is how I would put that in perspective, that we're always consecrating ourselves to Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus takes us to the Father. That's always the goal. There's one goal. It's the bosom of the Father, and Jesus is the only way to the Father. But Jesus is very clear that we come to him, that we come to the Father in communion with others. I mean, he called 12 apostles to reconstitute the nation of Israel. We are not individuals. And so we actually become part of Jesus' family. He gives us his mother. And I think we can say that he gives us his adoptive father, Joseph, as well. Because if we are so united with Jesus, then his mother becomes our mother. His heavenly father is our heavenly father, and his earthly father is our earthly father. So we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. Saint Joseph is the patron of the universal church. And so if we do a consecration to Joseph, once again, I think we should always in our minds understand that to mean I am asking for Joseph's particular help in living the Christian life, and that this is really a strengthening the dedication of my life to Christ. And so you can consecrate your life with the help of multiple saints. And so I have a particular devotion also to Saint Benedict as a Benedictine oblate. And I'm also part of the Angelic Warfare Confraternity under the patronage of Saint Thomas Aquinas. And so every single day I am approaching my relationship with the Lord with the help of his mother, with his earthly father, with Saint Benedict and Saint Thomas Aquinas. And those are like my guys. And I literally imagine them even standing behind me with their hand on my shoulder in prayer. And I really rely on them. And I think we should all have a kind of a group of special patrons with Our Lady chief among them, because she is the Queen Mother, and they are there for us on a day-to-day basis.
What do you think, Theodore?
Yep, that makes sense. I appreciate the help.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Dr. Jared Stout is our guest. We're talking about relationship with Mary. Something I actually, I'm delighted that we get to talk with on this Friday afternoon here in San Diego. I really do have the feeling that we can, as Catholics, get defensive about Mary because we're challenged on Mary a lot. But our primary disposition towards Mary should be one of childlike love for our mother. And it's nice to get to spend some time talking about that and promoting that. Andrew's in Oregon watching on YouTube. Andrew, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. So my family and I are currently Anglicans and we're discerning Catholicism. And I've been praying the rosary regularly. And so I have a couple questions about that. I guess the first is kind of a practical one in terms of, you know, there's a lot of repetition, which I've heard sort of the arguments for why that's okay. I guess my question though is, in a relationship, what are we hoping we're achieving by requesting that prayer multiple times of Mary? And then secondly, at the end, when we address Mary in the, I think it's called the Salve Regina, we refer to her as Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And just, you know, coming from a Protestant background, I think those referring to Mary in that way can feel very, I'm on board until I refer to you as my life kind of right. thing.
Someone else described himself as our life. So that seems reasonable to have that problem. Dr. Stout, can you help Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many great things that you've asked here. So hopefully I can get through the main points. But, you know, we refer to the rosary as Our Lady's Psalter. And it's really been presented to us as a way of fulfilling our daily, I would say, portion of prayer. I almost said obligation. I don't think that's the right way of looking at it. So many of the saints have said that, you know, if we don't pray, we won't be saved. And then when they give us recommendations of how often to pray, they say, you need to meditate, engage in mental prayer for at least 15 minutes a day. And so Our Lady, in so many of the apparitions where she's appeared, has said, pray the rosary daily. And I think that's really our mother saying, now make sure to say your daily prayers. And during your daily prayers, I'm going to come and hold your hand, right? Let's do this together. I know you're having a hard time getting in your 15 minutes a day. So let's do this together. And I tell people that the rosary is really meant to be relational. I know it can become rote and we have to really, I think, try to work on really being in the Lord's presence during it. But we say, Our Father. We say, Hail Mary. Hail, in a way, it's a greeting. It's like, Hello, Mary. We say, Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say, Oh, my Jesus. Right? These are all relational prayers. And in our topic for this hour is relating to Mary. Well, how do you relate to someone? You talk with them. And so 53 times during the rosary, we say, greetings, Mary. Hello, Mary. And I think we have to look at that as a kind of open door. Like we're opening the door of our home to try to be with our Lord and his mother. And when we're looking at the prayer, you know, the Hail Holy Queen prayer, I think it's very important to understand that properly, because if there's ever any competition with Jesus, there's a problem, right? But that's one of the beautiful things about his mother, is that everything he has in his humanity, he received from her. When you receive the Eucharist and you consume the flesh of Christ, that flesh comes from her. The very incarnation itself comes from her fiat. And, you know, there's the great traditional prayer, the Ave Maria Stella, where it says that her Ave undid what Eva did, which those are just reverse. Eve and Ave, you know, they're spelled different directions in the Latin. And so Eve brought death through her sin. And Mary brought life through her fiat. What life did she bring? The life of Jesus, right? There's no competition. Everything that, like I said, Jesus has in his humanity comes through her. Once again, as if through an open door. And so St. Louis de Montfort said that Jesus came into the world through his mother, and he continues to will to come into the world through her again. Behold your mother. He wants her to be our mother. And what do you receive from your mother? Life. What life do you receive from your heavenly mother? The life of her son. All right, no competition.
Andrew, I'm going to come back to you. Helpful? Do you have follow-up questions?
Yeah, I think that is helpful, in particular thinking about your example, or I guess it wasn't an example, but just the reality of the incarnation is dependent on Mary's yes. Thinking about that in the sense of like, yeah, like in some ways you can talk about her as being our life, because without the incarnation, we are still dead in our sins, right? So that's really helpful to think of her as that focal point, I think.
And it's not just once and done. She continues to have that role of bringing her son to us.
Andrew, I'd like to give you a couple books. We've got a little booklet called 20 Answers to the Rosary. And if you'd like it, I'll send you Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic. And if there's anything else we can do for you, please let us know. Praise God that you and your family are discerning coming into the Catholic Church. Right back with more with Dr. Jared Stout on Catholic Answers Live.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ, September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whyweearecatholic.com.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth.
On the next Beacon of Truth, the vine and the branches, and looking at Soulful Psalm 139.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Is developing, building, working on, or initiating your relationship with Mary, the Mother of Jesus, something that you would like some help with? This is the perfect hour for you to call and ask your questions about relationship with Mary. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. We're going to go back to the phones. Before we do, Catholic Answers, taking a little cruise. We're going to start on June 29th in Montreal. We're going to end, on July 6th in Boston, Massachusetts. About 150 people coming so far, and we'd love it if you'd come. We'll have Mass each day. We'll have lots of wonderful talks and conversations and great Catholic fellowship as we go to places like visiting St. Anne de Beaupré or the Oratory of St. Joseph and all that. Find out more, if you'd like more information, at CatholicAnswersCruise.com. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Our guest here is Dr. Jared Stout. He is the director of content at Exodus, which you can find at Exodus90.com. And they've got a consecration for men to undertake to marry, and it'll start this Sunday. Maybe that's something that you'd want to do. Why would anyone want to do that, Dr. Stout?
Well, you know, I first consecrated my life to Jesus through Mary in 1996, and I'm really looking forward to doing it again. It's been a real blessing to me just being able to turn to Mary as my mother through all difficulties, asking for her help, asking for her guidance, and I do feel her presence close to me, especially in difficult moments. So if you have not done it and you've been interested in doing it, this is a great opportunity. But if you've done it before, like me, it's a great renewal opportunity as well. We are using Father Boniface Hicks's book, The Fruit of Her Womb, 33-Day Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus. And so he's building on St. Louis de Montfort, but he's giving us beautiful reflections that he's written. He's drawing from other authors like Pope Benedict. There's beautiful art and prayers each day. So it's about a 10-minute commitment each day for the 33-day preparation period. But you can access his book directly through our app. Right? So you don't have to go out and buy Father Boniface's book. We have a license to use it. And it's going to, I think, really be a great experience, even better than using just the St. Louis de Montfort method on its own.
And if you'd like more information, just call and join us. We've got quite a few lines open now. Four lines are open at the moment. 888-318-7884. Connor's in Atlanta, Georgia, watching on YouTube. Connor, thank you for your patience. I know you waited a little while. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
No, it's all good. Thank you for having me on here. So, I just had a question that I think is a little more, I guess maybe I'm making this one up, but just in case, you know, I think that one of the objections I can anticipate non-Catholics, I guess, kind of having towards, you know, a relationship with Mary as our Blessed Mother is that they might think that we're almost kind of pitting our biological or adoptive mother against, you know, Mary as a spiritual mother, as if we're trying to replace her with Mary. And maybe I'm just making that up, but as far as something people wouldn't actually say, but in case that's a real objection people have, how would you go about, I guess, kind of clarifying that? Oh, no, okay. They're not competing at all. Kind of like, you know, how we're not putting Mary against Jesus when we consecrate ourselves to her.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that this is really a great benefit. Now, I can understand some mothers being, what do you mean you have another mother? Aren't I your mother? Like, I get where you're coming from with that for sure. But both with our father and with our mother on earth, right? There's limitations. You know, they have given us our life. They've cared for us. There's always wounds to overcome as well. But just as they have given us our biological life and kind of shaped us, you know, morally in certain ways, we are being reborn into everlasting life, right? And that began with baptism. And we really want the seed of our baptism to grow into a full tree. That's what the consecration is about. And what does Jesus say? You know, call no man father, for you have one father. And of course, we still, you know, call our dad's father, you know, and there's no real competition there. But at the end of the day, even the gift of fatherhood that we have received from our earthly fathers is a participation in the life of our Heavenly Father, the one who is the ultimate source and origin of our life. And in terms of our spiritual life, you know, before the break, we were talking about Mary being the one who has given us the gift of her son. And that's always her focus. Do whatever he tells you. Mary is never saying, hey, no, come over here. Come listen to me over here. I'll tell you some other things that Jesus didn't say. No, she's always do whatever he tells you. And so she is a mother in the sense of really helping this rebirth in the spirit to come to its full fruition in this life. And so we need a mother on that level, you know, a perfect mother. We love our mothers, but I mean, Mary is a mother in a higher way, in a spiritual way, and she is helping us to be conformed to her son.
Connor, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about relationship with Mary today with Dr. Jared Stout on Catholic Answers Live. And now we go to Cincinnati. Bob's in Cincinnati listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Bob, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
Thank you for taking the call. I caught your remarks a little earlier about Galileo and the discovery that the sun does not revolve around the earth and that the Bible is not meant to be a scientific book. Wouldn't the same thing apply to Mary in saying that she was a perpetual virgin in light of the fact that if Jesus was fully a man, he had to have Y chromosomes, and that only comes from a man? Why are we not taking perpetual virginity idea as a legend?
Yeah, so I would say when we say the Bible is not scientific, what we mean is that the claims of the Bible are not presented to us in scientific fashion. Now, if it were, it would say, I want to teach you about the way that earthly realities work, or I want to teach you about the way in which my son will be conceived in the womb, right? And these are things that you can learn from experience, because that's what science is, things that are replicable, things that can be understood by observation. And so the position of the earth and the sun is actually something that can be verified through observation. In the ancient world, They got their observations wrong, but through observation, we were able to overcome that. The virgin birth, however, is not something that can be scientifically verified. Now, I think what you're saying rightly is that if it is real, then there is a reality that's not simply legendary. I mean, Jesus did have chromosomes. What were they? You know, well, the Bible is actually not trying to teach us that. And so it is a great question to kind of ponder. But God is revealing to us in the Bible what we need to know for our salvation. And there are earthly realities that are discussed which are necessary for our salvation, including the incarnation itself. But God does not want us to aim at some kind of scientific validation of the incarnation and the virgin birth. Rather, they are presented to us in faith. And faith is a way of knowing. The Catholic tradition is very clear about that. And some people say, oh, well, that's a cop-out because only science is real knowledge. However, 99% of what we know, we have accepted on faith. When you opened up your science textbook in school, if you accepted the validity of your science textbook, you did so in faith because you trust the publisher, you trust the credentials of the author, you trust your school teacher and your school to be presenting you accurate information. That was all taken on faith. That is the primary way that human beings know anything. You look something up on the internet, you're taking that on faith. Actually, everything that is taught to you by your family and your friends, you accept on faith. So that's the way that the Bible presents things to us as facts to be accepted and trust, right? That we trust the messengers who speak on behalf of God. We recognize that they do speak on behalf of God if we accept that message in faith.
Bob, that brings us right to the break. So I will say thank you very much for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Dr. Jared Stout. He's the director of content with Exodus. They are embarking on Sunday on a worldwide Marian consecration for men, and you can participate. Just go to exodus90.com and find out how. If you've got questions about building your relationship with Mary, whether you've got one or you don't got one, if you've got questions about getting that relationship, just give us a call, 888-318-7884.
There's only one, Catholic Answers Live. The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hosting Women Made New has helped me deepen my own faith, and I look forward to every weekend having those in-depth discussions with my guests. It's been such a blessing being a part of the EWTN family and carry on the mission that Mother Angelica started.
Women Made New, Saturday noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I always enjoy the time with Dr. Jared Stout whenever we get to have him on. You formerly taught at the Augustine Institute. Now you're with Exodus. We've had many wonderful conversations, but I am particularly happy with today's opportunity to talk about Mary, because I hadn't thought about this, that we're always defending her and we're rarely talking about building up that relationship with her. I mentioned the Angelus, and I really don't know how many people pray the Angelus anymore. But this is, to me, like, this is like the example of Marian prayer, of how it's meant to get us to Jesus through Mary. I wish more people, maybe you could talk up the Angelus to the Exodus guys a little bit. Because it's a terrible thing to lose if we're losing it.
Well, Mary's motherhood is ordered towards being disciples of Jesus Christ. That's clear. And what do we see Luke say about Mary? She pondered these things in her heart. And that's what we're supposed to be doing during the rosary, meditating on the mysteries, as challenging as that is. I put up pictures for my kids to look at. It keeps us on track. The Angelus is the same, right? How do you ponder these things in your heart? Luke says that particularly about the mystery of the incarnation itself, right? When we look at what happened at the Annunciation, at the Visitation, at the Presentation, these are all the mysteries related to the incarnation of her son. She kept these things. She pondered them. Well, if you're going to do the same thing, then you need to kind of fit that into your schedule. So how do you do that? You start the day, you come back at midday, and then at the end of the day, you're thinking about the incarnation. That is really the goal of the Angelus. And, you know, when you live in a Catholic place, you know, you start ringing those bells, and it's a beautiful thing. So 6, 12, and 6 is when we stop, you say the Angelus. I have to say that, unfortunately, it's a rare day when I hit all three of those times. The morning one is the hardest for me. But, you know, I've set alarms at these times and just really trying to get into that rhythm so that I can be like Mary, pondering the incarnation with her.
It's funny that you say that about the ringing of the bells, because I forgot that there's a famous painting, and now I'm forgetting the name of the painter who painted the French.
Millet.
Millet.
M-I-L-L-E-T.
Millet. Yeah. He painted the couple out in the field. And, you know, today I will admit to a little bit of envy of Muslim society because of the call to prayer. I don't want the call to prayer, but I do kind of like the idea of the bells to remind you to pray. In medieval towns, you ring the church bells at 6 in the morning, at noon, and at 6 in the evening to remind people to pray. And that's what Millet's painting is about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, already in the Didache, our earliest catechetical document from the first century, it says that Christians prayed the Our Father 3 times a day. And so this is, I mean, as ancient as it gets to stop and pray 3 times a day. And, you know, Muhammad was not very original. And so praying 5 times a day was an imitation of what he saw Christians doing. Just like Ramadan is an imitation of what Lent was like in the ancient world, because Christians didn't eat during the day during Lent, and they had one simple meal in the evening after the sunset. So what you admire about the Muslims was actually what Muhammad admired about the Christians in the ancient world. So we really just need to return to our own heritage of having these times, you know, and I think those three, you know, times to stop, 6, noon, and 6 are just a great way of coming back to punctuating the day with prayer.
888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about having a relationship with Mary. And if you've got questions in that regard, if you're not a Catholic and you've got, because I've known many non-Catholics who have actually kind of longed for that relationship and they know the person to ask is a Catholic. If you are among those, you're welcome to call. Anybody who wants to develop a relationship with Mary can give us a call. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You know, where I live here in Southern California, Our Lady of Guadalupe is big. You see her all over the place. Maybe that's true everywhere now in the U.S. I don't know. But it's always been the case here, because you know, you probably know this little fact of history, but we used to be Mexico. Many people don't know that about California, but we weren't always.
Hey, even in the Carolinas where I live now, there were Spanish missions up the coast.
Oh, were there really?
All the way up to Virginia.
Oh,
I mean, most of the country was Mexico in some fashion at one point or another. Spain, that is. New Spain, we should say. Yeah.
Edgar just pumped his fist at that. Are you? All right, Edgar, fine. I mean, this is something I do think that somewhat baffles non-Catholics or people who are new to the Catholic Church, the idea of Mary under these various titles. Like, what is, you know, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Good Hope? What are we Catholics doing with that? And does that really help with the relationship with Mary?
I think it does. You know, I was recently visiting the oldest Marian shrine in the country at Our Lady of the Milk, La Leche, down
really?
At the Nombre de Dios mission in St. Augustine, Florida. And that's a great title for what we're talking about, having this relationship of the spiritual motherhood, spiritual nourishment. Once again, that's ordered always towards her son. Everything that Mary does is towards her son. But they focus on these different aspects. And, you know, like Our Lady of Sorrows, for instance, when you look at Luke's gospel in the presentation, when Simeon says that a sword of sorrow will pierce her heart so that the hearts of many will be revealed. So when we pray to Our Lady of Sorrows, we pray that what's hidden within us will be made known, will be made manifest, that we can understand our struggles, our sorrows more deeply and address them with her. Our Lady of Guadalupe, when you look at things like that, now Guadalupe was actually the monastery in Spain where Columbus's trip was dedicated to Our Lady. And so that's actually very fundamental, the fact that Mary's apparition in Mexico was linked back up with that monastery in Spain. And so it's a bond between continents, that the Catholic faith has really become a bridge between the old and the new world through Our Lady's help. Because we know the conquistadors were messing everything up in horrible ways. And so Our Lady intervened and said, I am, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe. I am here to kind of set things right and to try to bring peace where there was disorder. And so Our Lady is not only drawing us into the mysteries of her life through these different titles, but she's also, I think, helping us to see the different places where we live, whether it's Fatima, and there's a connection to Islamic
Muhammad,
history
yeah.
there, of course, yeah, but locations. And so you see this all the time, Our Lady of the Lake, Our Lady of the Mountains, Our Lady of the Pines, you know, all these things. Well, what are we right. trying to do there? We're trying to, just like in the consecration that we're undertaking, we're offering these things to Jesus through the intercession of his mother so that they would become holy.
I have heard some people kind of emphasize the fact that Jesus has a father and a mother, and if we lose the mother side, if we downgrade Mary, we downgrade the humanity of Christ. We're missing out on part of his humanity. And I do kind of feel like there's a visceral way of experiencing that. In a lot of places, Mary is connected to physical things. She's like, you know, like the earthy side of Catholicism is very Marian.
And I think it's because the Catholic faith is deeply sacramental. And that is based on the incarnation, and the incarnation happened through Our Lady. And so you're right. All these things are linked. You get rid of Our Lady, you start losing sight of the humanity of Christ. You lose the sacraments, the embodied family of the church, that we are the people of God who are the body of Christ instantiated in the world right now. And all of these things hang together. And when we lose sight of Our Lady, we also lose sight of the holiness that we are called to, that we are called to be saints, because then all of the saints kind of fall with her. Because the church ultimately is a family. We are entering into to Jesus' home in Nazareth with him. You know, when we consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary, it's like we're entering into to that home. And we say, you know, I am one with Jesus. I want to be here sitting with Our Lady, sitting with St. Joseph. I want to dedicate my daily work, my relationships, that I want all of this to be holy, not only an imitation of the Holy Family, because imitation is not a strong enough word, but participating in the life of the Holy Family, that our life can actually be joined to the life of the Holy Family. And I think that's the key to the rosary. Why is the rosary so important? Like Father Patrick Peyton, the family that prays together stays together. And he was talking about the rosary in particular, because it is in that prayer, as we're talking to our Lord, our Lady, to the Holy Trinity, that we are linking our lives up to theirs. And this is the time in which our home can become a little Nazareth.
What an extraordinary vision. And we do see in the modern world Joseph getting more attention than he used to get, too. I mean, it's certainly in the last 400 or 500 years that Joseph has taken a prominent role. Maybe that's connected. Maybe it's connected to the kind of, I don't want to use a fancy word, but I always love the word atomization. From the day I learned what atomization is, I thought, well, that does really actually describe the modern situation. We're all like little atoms. None of us are connected to each other.
And that is precisely the time that we need our spiritual family to reemerge, right? In this time of secularism, we have Our Lady intervening, right? You think of, people thought that the Catholic Church would just be obliterated in Europe, you know, through the French Revolution. And then you look at all of these interventions in the 19th century, Lourdes, La Salette, and other places. I mean, even in the United States, right, to Adele Breeze in Wisconsin. Right, we had a 19th century apparition here. So it seems that even though there's been apparitions throughout all of church history, even in the early church, there is something about the last couple hundred years where Our Lady is especially reaching out to us and closing us with the mantle of her protection, kind of drawing us in. And I think that is absolutely tied to what you're saying about the role of St. Joseph. Our work has become secularized, so we need him as the model worker. We are losing touch with our fathers and with family life. And this is why Joseph is becoming so prominent. And we had that caller earlier asking, is consecration to St. Joseph in opposition to consecration to Our Lady? And I would say, do it together, right? Yeah. I mean, to Jesus through Mary and Joseph. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, give us, if you would, again, because we're talking about Mary, we're talking about relationship with Mary, we're talking about building relationship with Mary. In the coming days, you're going to undertake an effort at Exodus, which people can find at Exodus 90, to draw thousands and thousands and thousands of men into closer relationship with the mother given to them by Jesus, Mary. Tell us about how people, again, if you would, before you go, about how people can participate.
Yes. So if you go to exodus90.com, you will see, you know, prominently displayed there just like how to join up in the consecration. Right through our app, we are offering Father Boniface Hick's book, The Fruit of Her Womb, 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus. So that will have daily meditations and prayers directly in the app. And then on May 31st, we will be making this consecration together, thousands of men throughout the world. And it's going to be very powerful. And we're going to see an impact not only in our lives, but in our families, in the church, and in society, because this is going to have a ripple effect. we can count on that.
Right. It will have a ripple. Little acts that Mary does seem to have huge implications for the rest of us. Little things like saying yes or saying, oh, do whatever he tells you. These things have eternal, apparently, consequences. Dr. Jared Stout, you're always a wonderful guest. I'm so glad you're associated with Exodus. I think it'll be just great for them and bring even greater prosperity to their efforts to bring people to Christ. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Jared Stout, he's the director of content at Exodus. You can find them at exodus90.com. It was an interesting week to work at Catholic Answers this week. I'm not going to say why. If you don't know why, then you could look it up. Look it up on the internet. But pray for us. I'll tell you what, we'll pray for you as well. We need to pray for one another. And that'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.